Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Healthy and Thriving Relationships Podcast. We are Gordon and Tara Avery, a husband and wife team that is super passionate about healthy and thriving relationships. Everything from dating to marriage to faith to yourself. You know, we just want all of your relationships to flourish. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and let's do this thing. Today, gonna do some talking about some tough talking. Yeah. Did that make any sense?
How to talk through tough stuff.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of a communication series. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we figure so many issues in relationships come down to just miscommunication.
Oh, and not so
talking
often.
About stuff or not knowing how to talk through stuff and or just making assumptions, and all sorts of miscommunication happens in relationships.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we're all about wanting you to have thriving relationships. So we figure it's about time we talk about communication. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure. The time has come. Because we just want, you know, communicating is really about being clear for your part of it. And part of clarity is understanding the other person, like knowing their story and knowing their personality and their love language and who they are as a man or a woman and their family background and all these things that we've been talking about in this series. Mm-hmm. When you understand that, it actually also gives you the ability to communicate more clearly because I know the kind of language that I need to use. Mm-hmm. And also it allows you to listen more clearly because I understand where you're coming from. I know your story. I know all of that. And so that's why so much of this series has been about just understanding the core stuff of another person. Mm-hmm. It's like understanding the core of a person is so much more important than just a communication technique. But there are techniques that are really helpful in communication. And this is another episode where we're going to talk specifically about some of the techniques, some of the guidelines on how to talk through the tough stuff.
Because like we said earlier, one of the biggest problems in the communication is we just don't know how to talk through the tough stuff.
Oh my gosh, so much.
Or like when we try to discuss, sometimes we just make it worse because we're not going about it right, or they're not receiving it well, or they're not going about it right.
How often have you seen that? People are like, oh no, yeah, we talk about the tough stuff. And you're like, oh, well, that's good. And then if you witness the way they talk about the tough stuff, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Now you're going to need to talk about how that talk went where you were trying to talk about the tough stuff because you just injured each other more. Mm-hmm. Like you're attacking people in the middle while you're talking. You're like you're making more wounds while trying to heal past wounds. And
Or I think for a lot of people, like what's really common too is just not to bring up the tough stuff. Just don't discuss it at all. And then you get festering wounds. And then one day someone's going to blow up about it. And it's like, where did this come from?
Yeah. Or even worse, and we're seeing this more now, is not just we're not going to talk about the tough stuff. I'm just going to completely cancel the relationship.
Yeah.
If there's some tough stuff, things that I don't like, I'll just ignore them and never text them back, remove them on social media. Mm-hmm. And you just ghost them. Yeah. And so like, being able to talk about the tough stuff it doesn't come naturally. This is not something that you should be like, you should just know. No, none of us really know how to do this well because of our sin nature that's built into us. Mm-hmm. So we have to learn it. It's really learning, how do I do this? And it takes a lot of self-control,
totally.
A lot of patience, to talk about the tough stuff well really requires really Jesus guiding you. You can learn a lot of the techniques, but without Jesus giving you a new heart, a new perspective, it's so easy to make all of life about me and what makes me happy and what I want. So, we definitely need to talk about, how to talk when we're doing and how to listen.
Yeah. Because it all comes down to like, if we want to have like rich, meaningful, long-lasting, mm-hmm. especially long-lasting
yes, yeah.
relationships, we have to know how to talk through the tough stuff because inevitably things are going to come up. Conflict's mm-hmm. going to happen. You're going to hurt yeah. each other. So this episode is all about looking at some of the healthy guidelines that we can follow when discussing the tough stuff.
Okay. Love that.
So let's just dig into some healthy guidelines to stick to when you feel like, oh, I got to bring this up with someone. Here are some kind of like ground rules.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. I'd say the first thing that we need to talk about is not even the speaking aspect, but the listening side of things. Mm-hmm. There's kind of two forms of listening. There is passive listening and there's active listening. And understanding the difference between these two is critical because oftentimes we are culprits of passive listening yeah. versus active
yep.
listening.
So how would you define passive listening then, babe?
If I was going to put it in a sentence, I would say passive listening is hearing the words, but not hearing the person.
Hmm.
That makes sense. Hearing the words, but not the person. So here's the, maybe it'd be helpful to just talk about examples of what passive
of what that would look like in a conversation.
Like, yeah. I think the first thing that comes to mind is you're talking and I'm not looking at you when you
mm-hmm.
talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm quote listening and I'm hearing the words, but I'm not actually like looking at you. It's a very passive form of listening.
Right. Or I see this a lot and I've been guilty of this too. Is like I'm on the phone while we're talking or while you're sharing something. Even if it's not a conflict thing, it's just a sharing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's easy to just be on the phone.
Have you noticed too that people get upset if you go, you notice they're on the phone while they're talking. They're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're like on the phone. And you go, oh, I'll just wait till you're done. And then they get upset. Like, what, you don't think I can listen to you while I'm on the phone? And
I mean, let's be honest. It's hard. We all think we can.
Yeah.
And then it's like, wait, what'd you say?
Yeah, it's really a passive. Or, you know, this comes to my mind too, is you're listening to someone and the moment your phone like has any noise at all, it vibrates, a little beep, a little text, you instantly go, oh, hey, sorry, I have to check this. Because what we're saying is this phone is more important than this person. And it's actually like, even if you're like looking at them, just going, the moment my phone like gets my attention, that's the priority.
Right.
And you go, no, there could be someone else that needs something. And you're like, yeah, but a person is right in front of you. So what you're saying is these people are more important than you. It's a form of like, I'm not really active as in I'm here, but the moment my phone rings or dings or whatever, that's going to become more important. And so it's kind of like I have your attention at the moment. But at any moment, I could lose it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really also another form of passive.
Totally. And that's really destructive when it comes to like talking through hard stuff. Like,
if
someone's like, hey, I want to sit down, talk to you about some stuff. This has been really bothering me. And I want to be able to like clear the air.
Mm.
And you do that kind of stuff in the middle of it. Or just,
you're
doing other distracting things while they're talking. That's really...
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to bring you guys into like any form of unity or peace.
Yeah.
That's just going to make the other person mad.
Yeah. And I think what you just said, like working on stuff while the person's trying to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's life where you're working on stuff and you're kind of chit-chatting and talking. That's fine. But we're talking about, hey, I really need to have an important conversation with you. Or something that's important to me, you know, it's never going to feel like that person's really listening to you if they're working on something else while you're talking. Because you're just not giving full attention. So it's more of a passive mm-hmm. listening on that thing.
Yeah.
And so, here's another one is there's like no response.
Mm.
Now, what I mean by that is... I mean, that's an obvious thing. You're working on something and you say something and there's no response back.
They're just looking at you blankly.
Yeah, or they're like working on something and then you're like, did you hear me? And they're like, yes, of course I heard you. And you're like, but there was no response. How am I supposed to know that you heard me?
Okay, so if passive we're saying is not the best way to go about it. It's not the way to go. Like being a passive listener is not healthy.
Yeah.
Then what would be the like best way to go about listening?
It would be active listening. Now, particularly men, this is something we naturally tend to, just overall, you see this tendency to be harder oftentimes for men, is we think, you know, your wife is like, are you listening to me? And you say back all the words that she said, but you've been on your phone, you've been looking at something else, you've been on your computer, or you've had no reaction on your face is blank. Like you're not expressing anything with your face. That's, your wife's not going to like that very much.
No.
That would be like passive. So active listening, I'd say it this way. It would be hearing the person, not just the words.
Mm.
It's all about like hearing the person, not just the words. You know, you hear that thing of like, you're listening to me, but you're not hearing me.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say that. And so active listening is really, really important. I think more and more women struggle with this now than they used to because of phones.
Yeah, phones can be so distracting.
I've never seen in my life, growing up, when I'd see two ladies talking, they were like eye to eye so often. But now I look around, I see two girls and one girl's like on the phone while the other person's there. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So now this is becoming a problem for like everybody, mm-hmm. particularly. So how would you describe, like, what are some examples of what active listening looks like?
Yeah. So listening actively, first of all, is I'm looking you in the eye.
Mm.
Like I am making eye contact with you as you're talking. I'm not just like looking around or looking down at my phone or anything.
That's that might be like the number one key. If you just do eye contact, it almost seems like everything else kind of falls into place.
That's true, because if you're looking at each other in the eyes or just towards facing each other, I'm not like looking at my phone. I'm not multitasking, doing other things. It basically is like,
yeah.
It's showing like I'm listening.
Yeah.
Another thing is to affirm. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, there we go. That makes sense.
Affirm what I'm hearing without interrupting.
Mm.
So if you are sharing something with me that is like making you feel like just yucky in the relationship.
Yeah.
And you have a moment of pause, then I can use that moment of like pausing to now interject like, okay, what I'm hearing you say is this.
Oh, so that's more, to me, that sounds more like you're clarifying what I'm saying. Oh,
okay. Yeah, you're right. That is more of a clarifying.
Which is, I think, also really important in like active listening is to then say back what the person is saying. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I feel like what I'm hearing you say is like this. Mm-hmm. And it gives an opportunity for you to make sure, and they feel like, wow, you're really listening. I would make sure that you do that too, mm-hmm. but not too quick, like let them like share and stuff like that. But then like make sure that you're hearing correctly, verify. That would be the word, like a good word. It's like I'm verifying what you're hearing, mm-hmm. Which is really nice when you hear back.
Yeah.
From someone else, say what you just said. And then you're like, wow, I feel heard.
Yeah. I feel like you're getting it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said like affirming, see if this is kind of what was on your mind. This was what came to my mind is sometimes just like a hand on the shoulder, touch a hand on the elbow. Like when someone's going through a hard time, you're like, oh, and you like just give them a little, you know, a little touch. Like if you're sharing something hard and I put like my hand, like you've done this to me where I'm like, if I'm crying about something, you just put your hand right on my mm-hmm. leg or you put your hand like on my shoulder.
I guess that just depends on the closeness of the relationship. If that's something that's appropriate.
But usually
there's
you're
lots of instances where I could be actively listening to someone, but I won't be like touching their shoulder
or their
hand.
But I'm just assuming that if we're discussing a tough stuff, that means that we have a close enough relationship discuss like more. If you're just discussing your deepest pains and fears with basically strangers, that's, mm-hmm. you should go listen to our boundaries series. Mm-hmm. That is like unhealthy sharing. Like you need to build some trust first before you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think another one too is like literally just nod. Like, just move your head when they're talking. Or smile if they're happy, frown if they're bad, like, oh, and just like mirror their expressions back to them. And it shows like, oh, I can see that you're feeling what I'm feeling.
And the key to that, to make that successful, is to be looking at each other in the eye.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's this like outstanding joke of like, oh yeah, just to like be following along. I know I got to insert an oh yeah, like every once in a while in the conversation. Yeah. But half the time that's when someone's not actually paying attention. Yeah. They're looking at their phone or something like that. So,
but those are really good too.
They are really good.
Like I it was a trick that I learned in like high school. I was reading Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, that like 90s book. And it was blowing my mind about like men and women. I think he had a section about like, how do you like make a woman feel like you're really listening to her and hearing her heart? And some of them was just learning to go like, oh, just like little sounds. So it's like not interrupting, but it's also affirming that I'm hearing you and that I'm connecting with you. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, it makes me think of Proverbs when it talks about, you don't want to sing cheery songs to a mournful heart.
Mm.
That's not helpful.
Right.
And I think the Apostle Paul talks about this too, of like, if someone has need to praise something in their life, you praise with them. You celebrate with them. If they're mourning, you mourn with them. If they're crying, you cry with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think oftentimes we want the other person to feel better. And so we try to make them feel better by like, well, let's talk about something lighter.
Yeah, that's true.
And that it doesn't actually help. It's like a short-term like fix of like, for the moment, maybe I don't feel that. But if someone's sharing this, sit in that moment with them.
Mm-hmm.
Cry with them. And oftentimes it's like, you don't really need to say anything, but you do need to affirm that you're hearing. Yeah. Don't just sit there with a blank expression on your face, you know?
All right. So another guideline to stick to.
Mm-hmm.
Just moving on, is attack the person, or sorry, attack the problem, not the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is really important because it can be so easy to attack each other while having tough conversations and
or
being defensive and then attacking back and all that kind of stuff. So it's really important that we learn how to like we're a team in this.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's just attack the problem that we're having, not each other.
Yeah, I think with most, would you agree that most people go, yeah, that sounds right. We should attack the problem, not the person.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's hard to know how to actually do that. And most people would agree with that statement, but then wouldn't know.
Like, what does that actually
What does that actually look like? What are, how do I like practically make sure that I'm, what are things I can do that's attacking a problem and not the person?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to that person that needs to know, like, well, what does that actually look like?
Yeah, I think first is it's really important for us to try to assume the best of like each other's intentions.
Mm.
It's so easy to go jump to like assuming the worst in people. And that's usually comes out of like deep fear and insecurity of in our own selves that like, to build trust and to work through hard stuff, like you have to assume the best in the other person.
Yeah. Like what we assume often when we feel hurt by someone is that they knew that would hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easiest, it, right away, you just assume.
Like you did that on purpose.
You did that on purpose. Mm-hmm. You knew that would hurt me. Now, assuming the best would be, they probably didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they didn't realize how much that hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to share that because I assume that they care about me. And sometimes you have to just tell yourself that even though you don't feel it.
Yeah.
You don't feel like that's true, but you need to practice just assuming the best of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And if they really did want to hurt you, that will come out eventually. You'll start seeing it, but it's much better in your relationships to start off assuming that. Because I think most of us in the relationships we care about, we do not want to hurt the other person.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes we do because we're mad and I want to get back at you and I know I say this thing. But it's just always better to assume that they care about you and that they have no idea what this did or whatever to you. So
totally.
I'd also say reaffirm the importance of the relationship when you're sharing. especially if I'm sharing with you about something that really hurt me that you did, or something that is really like hits a wound from the past and or behaviors that are really bothering me, things like that, things I need to confront you with, there's addictions, whatever it is to make sure to help the person know that you're not attacking them, you're attacking the problem, is to make sure you really reaffirm how important they are to you.
Yes.
You know, say things like, hey, I want you to know this is going to be, there's some tough stuff that I need to share with you. But I want you to know from the get-go, I like care about you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the best for you. I'm not giving up on this relationship. I like care deeply for you. You know, like things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you talk about it and then do it at the end too. Reaffirm, like, listen, I know this is tough and all that stuff, but the reason I'm even bringing it up is because I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is scary for me because I know that you might be really upset with me. You know, just reaffirm the relationship, or else, and that actually will, when you start that way, you're like reminding yourself too, that you're like, oh, I actually do care about this person. And then you usually come at it a little bit
softer,
a little softer,
mm-hmm.
Not so like attacking and just like beating the person down.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that comes to mind.
Yeah. And then I think, another thing when it comes to attacking the problem, not the person, is like, it's helpful to give specific examples of like how you've been hurt or how they've like offended you in whatever way, or, you know, like give the examples. Don't just say, hey, like when you did this, this hurt me. Like that person may not realize that they did that thing.
Yeah.
So they might need more information. Like, oh, like when did that happen? Or, and not in like a, like a like a defensive way, just to bring more understanding. It's always helpful to give it examples.
Yeah, because oftentimes we go like, you always disrespect me in public. And they're like, what are you talking about? I don't feel like I ever disrespect you in public. Oh, you know you do. You do it all the time. And well, that's okay. If the other person is like, when did I do that? You need to have specific examples.
Yeah.
So when we were at church and there was this person and you said this thing that you thought was funny, it actually made me feel like I was stupid, this stupid thing. Oh, can you believe he couldn't even like find the place? And wives do this without realizing it to their husbands all the time, disrespect them in public. side note, but which you don't, babe, you do an amazing job.
Thank you.
I like never feel like you disrespect me in public, which is an incredible gift. It makes me feel safe with you. But like give specific examples. I've had people that like, they'll say things like, you always, say hurtful things and you're like, oh my gosh, what are you talking about? And then they can't think of any examples. And then that's like a sign of like, something's wrong here. Like you're assuming a lot of things and then trying to find a place to place the blame.
Yeah.
And you're putting it on me because you can't even think of a specific example.
Mm-hmm.
So that just shows something else is going on. So yeah, I agree. You need to have something specific.
Mm-hmm.
And that also when it's specific, now you can, it's like you're attacking a specific situation or problem, not the person.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So are there any examples that you could think from like our own life that we've seen what attacking the problem, not the person looks like?
Yeah. One of my best friends, as we were getting to know each other within the first couple of years, hearing his story, had a rough relationship with his dad. His dad was like cheated on his mom and just was also kind of like abusive and just, you know, like a rough past. And I remember him telling me something about his story and his dad didn't want him to be like a musician or something like that. Cause he's like, oh, you'll probably get stuck on drugs or something like that. And knowing, my friend's story, there was a time in his life where, he was super depressed. This is before he knew Jesus and alcohol was like an addiction, you know, with him and his buddies and just get blackout drunk and all that stuff before God came in and rescued him. And I made a comment that I didn't even like think about. And it was like a year later, cause we've been trying to work on like, hey, how can we talk about tough stuff together? Things just from our past in general, talking about that kind of stuff, but also like if I've done anything that's really hurt you. And he was like, oh, there's this thing that you said that I really, it really bothered me and it hurt me. And I've tried to just like overlook it, but it keeps coming back. And that was the first part that we didn't do well, was like not sharing, taking so long to share.
Yeah.
But what he did was he reaffirmed me, like, I know you, and I know that that's not something you intentionally wanted to hurt me. I know that. And I care about this relationship, and we want a relationship where we can be honest and share with you. And so know that I love you. You're like one of my best friends. So I want to share this. Already notice how he set it all up really mm-hmm. well. He reaffirmed me. He let me know, like, I know that you didn't mean to, all that kind of stuff. And then he shared, I said, for some reason, I said the comment of like, well, you actually did, it's ironic, you actually did kind of get into drugs.
Ouch.
And I wasn't thinking of it as like, I was just like, oh, that's so interesting. And I was like, wow. And so I like, apologized. Wow, I'm so sorry. And was like, you know what? What's interesting is that your dad was so afraid of you getting into that lifestyle. So he had you go to business school. And part of that going to business school is what got you into the life that he thought musicians would mm-hmm. get you. You know, like, but when we were able to really, you know, I had to repent. But then it was like this beautiful moment.
Yeah.
And so he had a specific thing. He was very open. But he really reaffirmed me to let me know, like, you know, I know that you didn't want to. So that's an mm-hmm. example. Can you think of an example in your life?
Yeah, I think the hardest conversation I've ever had with someone was when talking to my mom, like shortly after we moved to Colorado from Washington State, where we were both from. I'm someone who stuffs my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And my relationship with my mom hasn't always been like, we haven't always seen eye to eye on how to do life and life choices. And even just like our marriage and how we live our life, being like artists and like just moving to Colorado just because, you know, it's something that we wanted to do. And we felt like God was like, yeah, go ahead and do it. And we wanted to just kind of spontaneously do that. And it wasn't for a like big job opportunity or anything like that. And there's just a lot in the way that I've lived my life that just rubs her wrong. And so there's just always been tension.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember like after her first visit out here, it felt like she was really being critical of our life.
Yeah.
And just how we spent our time, like not knowing our city yet, not having built community yet. And this, granted, this is like just we've only been here a couple months. And it just was rubbing me so wrong, and like it just like bubbled. It's like all of my frustrations over the years just like bubbled to the surface. And I ended up writing her a letter because I find a lot more clarity in my thoughts when I write.
Yeah.
My thoughts down, and I could like sit and edit it and make sure that it was soft, you know, because sometimes our feelings that we're experiencing immediately like can come off very hard.
Yeah.
Or we can get in arguments or yell at each other. So it was like, take some time, look at it, just reread it over and before like sending it. And I just remember like really wanting to like affirm her that I love you. And this is stuff that may surprise you because I've not talked about it before.
Yeah.
But I really want to grow in our vulnerability and our relationship with each other. And vulnerability has already been really tough in my family, like not really taught how to handle vulnerability well.
Yeah.
Or how to have hard conversations or anything. So this is kind of the first time like stepping out on a ledge. It felt like doing this with a member of my family. And so just trying to like really affirm in the letter how much I loved her, how much I wanted to talk about this stuff so that we could be closer and find like a deeper intimacy and just like reassure her of that before going into like, hey, this has been like, this has really bothered me or this has like really hurt me over the years. Just not feeling understood or not feeling supported. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that was probably the best I've ever handled like a hard conflict like that or something that's really bothering me and like like being able to express it well and not like attack.
Yeah. I remember, and something you mentioned too, is just like how you from the get-go affirmed her, affirmed that you this relationship was important to you and that you loved her and that this is because you wanted to get closer. And then also your examples, I remember, were very specific. It was like not just an overall feeling.
Right.
It was like, hey, when you did this thing, this is how this makes me feel. And when you do this thing, and it was very about like these specific things that are said. And, you know, so it was very clear and affirming, even though it was like some tough stuff, you know, we had to talk about. And so, yeah, those are some, I think, some great examples about that. So why don't we, so basically that was like attack the problem, not the person.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say is like another guideline that helps when, you know, some healthy guidelines to help us when we're talking about tough stuff. What would you say?
I thought you were going to share it.
No, I was asking you.
Oh, okay. Another thing is both parties need to share.
Ooh, this is important.
It's really helpful when there's an issue that you're both aware of because then you really both need to share. Like if you're like, hey, this is a clear thing that we've been having conflict over. Let's come together and talk about it in like a safe way. Like
or something obvious that we've both been fighting over or...
Yeah, it's a little different when it's like... It's an issue that like I need to share something with you that you're completely unaware of.
Yeah. That's
then
different.
That's more of a time where like you need to maybe listen.
And maybe not
while
share
I'm sharing.
Back and just yeah.
But I think that we wanted to include this one because we so often like one person a lot of times happens to be like more of a talker and the other person happens to be a listener.
Yeah, like you're the talker in this relationship and I'm the listener.
No. I think anyone who listens to us regularly would know that that's not true.
Yeah, Gordon talks
so
a lot.
So the thing that we need to be aware of is like you need to give me space to be able to talk. So you need to stop talking.
Oh man, that's so important. We're discussing a problem. I have to make sure to not overtake the whole time.
Yeah.
And then so I just talk for 2 hours straight and then I go, okay, now what are your thoughts? And by that time,
and
you're like, I'm
like
so
dead
exhausted.
And I'm sleeping.
I have nothing to say now. and so it's like, no, limit yourself, say something.
Yeah.
I would also say if you're more of the listener or you're less of the one that likes to talk or share, you have to talk. That's your responsibility.
Yeah, it's important for me to know, like, okay, I have to contribute to this conversation.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why it's really good to. I think that one of the best ways to handle tough conflict is to like mention it to each other ahead of time and discuss a time that we're going to meet and talk about it. Because it gives us time to like, first of all, cool down if we're really upset about something and then come together later. But especially for people who are like me, who are like generally more quiet or they're inward processors.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we need the time to process so that we can show up and actually contribute to the conversation when we do decide to start talking about it.
Yeah, that's something I've had to learn because I know what I feel right away about something. And I have a thought about something right away. Well, and partly because I realize I'm also an outward processor. And what that means is I don't actually know what I think until I start
talking.
You're
processing out loud.
Yeah. As I'm talking, it's becoming clear to me what I really think or feel. And so I can do the spontaneously. Oh, we need to talk about it. Let's go. But for you, you're just going to be lost in your thoughts. I'm hearing you. I don't know what I'm thinking.
I'm hearing you share.
And that's weird for me.
I haven't even processed what I think. And so I'm just listening to you. And so
yeah, it still like blows my mind. And I'm like, well, how does that make you feel? And you're like, I don't know. And I was in my mind, I was like, how is that possible to not know instantly what you feel?
Oh, there's so many instances and people who totally relate to like, I don't know what I think or feel about this yet.
Yeah.
Like I need to sit and think it over.
Which makes sense now that I understand. Like, well, it's because I'm such a highly emotive person. I'm so in tune with that.
Right.
And other people are more like cognitive or active and they're more in tune with their bodies or their minds or their thoughts and not their emotions yet or different things. And so I love that idea of schedule the talk. Would it be helpful for someone like you that sometimes you just need help processing to almost like write it in letter form and then the letter.
Like
at
I
the
have
meeting.
To do that even when you give me space to process, it's helpful to write it down just to make sure that I'm actually processing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise it can be so easy to like give the space, but not actually utilize that time to even process.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really helpful for me to be able to like, okay, I have a pen and paper or I have my computer with my notes open. And I'm just going to intentionally sit here and start writing out my thoughts.
Yeah. That's really good. Just make sure you're both sharing. Mm-hmm. Know if you're a talker or a listener and adjust to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the final guideline to help in terms of talking through tough stuff would be basically dig deeper. Now, what I mean by this is ask yourself, especially if you feel like a reaction. Something happens and you just, boom, blow up.
You have a big reaction.
You have a big reaction or a big feeling or whatever it is ask yourself the question, where is this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll tell you the answer is not, well, what they just did. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Like they left the dirty diapers on the floor. I don't know. That just came out of my
mind.
Dirty
underwear.
Dirty underwear. Dirty diapers would be pretty gross too. And somehow it just, something just blows up and you think, oh, it's this thing. I've told you a million times and now I'm blowing up. It's not the action. It's not the little thing that's causing this big thing. There's something else going on, or it's usually connected to something in your past that's deeper.
Yeah. Like I think one of our biggest fights, and this sounds so silly.
It does.
Because, you know, it's so easy to fight over stupid little stuff in the like grand scheme of things. But then sometimes those stupid little stuff have a deeper meaning behind
mm-hmm.
them.
Yeah.
And like it was before we moved in together, after we were married and we were taught like, you know, filling out our registry for
so exciting.
Gifts and stuff. And like you wanted to get new towels.
Yeah, I was like, let's design our bathroom the way we want it from the ground up. And people are actually going to buy this stuff for us. So let's
get what we can. I know. Yeah. And I had just recently got great towels that were like good quality. They were fun colors. Mm. I'm a very colorful like person. Yeah. You're very like black and white. They're your favorite colors.
Which is so funny because I'm like the outgoing verbally. And then like my favorite color is black and white and gray.
Yeah. So we had this like big fight over, do we get new towels or do we keep our own?
Yeah.
And it felt like we were both really like heated about it.
Oh, yeah.
For something that seemed like it shouldn't be that big.
It was our biggest fight, which is surprising.
So do you remember like if we were to ask ourselves, I mean, I'm pretty sure we did. We did talk this over. Like, why is this like hitting such a nerve? What is happening on a deeper level here? Do you remember what you were like feeling?
I remember I was feeling, I still feel like, are those great towels?
What do you mean?
No, I'm not.
We got new towels.
I know
on the
we
registry.
Did. I know we did. Because I remember we had heard this from a counselor that was saying like, when you have a big reaction over something that's a small thing, that's a sign that there's something else deeper going on.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't right away, but it was a little bit later after we were able to process and calm down from the intense anger over fighting over what towels we wanted. I remember us like trying to process like, where is this coming from? And I think for me, a lot of it was... I really wanted us to go into marriage like as a team, as in like we're coming in together. And so we had talked about like not even trying to not bring too much of our stuff from singlehood into even our home. Like, let's try to start and say this is something we both chose. Even everything down to like dishware and all that kind of stuff of like, hey, let's sell it and let's start from scratch. And for me, a lot of that I think was very like, we're in this together. And I love towels. It's just a thing. I don't know why. I just love a nice, big, comfy towel when I get out of a shower. And I love like beauty and all of that. And so what it was saying is like, I already have these awesome towels. Now, there was the first part is like, they just weren't my favorite looking towels. I didn't like all these. They're not matching. They're just a bunch of random different colors. I didn't like them to begin with. So there was that, just a preference.
Well, they weren't random because they matched my shower curtain.
Okay. But the shower curtain was like a million different colors.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting matching formula. I'll get a shower curtain that has literally every color. And so then I can get whatever colors I want and say, well, it matches.
A rainbow curtain. Goodness. This is still bothersome to us, apparently. It's just funny.
Yeah. So there was like this sense of almost like you weren't really, and I was like, people are going to pay, they're going to buy this for us and we can pick. From the beginning, we can set ourselves up for like, oh, wow. And I'm thinking, oh, if we have gray, then that matches anything. It's like a base color. And then we could put like, you could put your splashes of colors in your curtains. But you were not, you were like, no, I was just like, I think, so like,
I think for
felt
me,
felt like you weren't like wanting to do this together maybe.
Yeah. And I think that there is some truth to that of like, I grew up in a very independent home.
Yeah.
Where, like we, you know, we had family game nights and things like that every once in a while, and obviously had fun together and bonded over those activities and everything. But otherwise, we were pretty independent. And I think with me having lived on my own for so long before we got married, and you like just kind of starting out and moving out of your parents' house, there was a sense of it. It was really hard for me to let go of the independence and change those like mindsets. And even though some things was really easy for me to be like, yeah, we're a team on this and like, let's do this. But then random weird things like that were like hard to let go of that independence of like, no, but I picked this and these are fairly new and they're fun.
That makes sense.
And you know, so I think it was just that transition of like letting go of the independence in that way.
Oh, and so seeing that, I feel like even us talking to us now is bringing even more
you're
insights.
You're like, oh, that's why.
That's interesting. Well, because that's like, that was a core family value was independence. And don't get into somebody's independence. And everybody gets to do what they want individually. And I came from a family that was
We do everything together.
We're a team here. We do everything together. And so it's not what I want or what you want. It's like, what do we want? And that kind of stuff. So that makes a lot of sense too. I also, there was also frustration of.
Is this another example or is this?
No, it's going off of this. I mean, towel thing is hard to let go.
Oh my.
I also, like Greg, as you said, living with my parents, they were amazing enough to go, hey, listen, you're trying to be a full-time musician. And we actually support that. We think that that's a thing that God wants you to do. So why don't you live at our house free of rent so that you're able to really do that and not have to get a side job, which was a huge blessing. So I was also living, my brother was there too. And I love my brother and I love my dad. And if you guys are either of you listening to this right now, know that I love you and also admit that you are both very messy. And if you don't see that, let's have a conversation and talk about this tough thing. You need to know it. I like to have things clean and organized. Well, I shared a bathroom with my brother. My brother's just like a typical guy. Most guys, I'd go to college and I was like, oh my gosh, every guy has like the most disgusting bathroom I've ever seen. So I guess it was a rarity amongst guys.
Yeah.
I like it organized, clean. And so it was like so... Yeah, I was just so tired of like, no matter what I did, the bathroom was a disaster. And so there was a part of me, I think that was also, I was just coming out of that season and so looking forward to like our bathroom, finally, maybe the way I want it.
That probably sparked it too.
Not as deep of a thing, but.
but like it really comes down to like, it's really important for us to look at the like bigger picture and ask like, hey, what is... Like, even if I notice you react big about something or a friend does, like, I notice, like, hey, like, what's going on inside? Like, where is this coming from? Yeah. Like, asking those type of questions. And then if you notice it within yourself, really thinking that through, too. But
Yeah,
all those towels.
It's so funny. We're actually having a harder... It depends. Your ability to, like, when little things, like, make you blow up... if that's happening regularly, What that means is that is showing you that there are some deep wounds within yourself that you need to go work on.
Yeah.
That's one of the key things that if you start blowing up over little things that are, they're kind of tiny, but they just make you so upset or angry. That's also, it's a good sign to go, oh, hello. Your heart is like kind of giving you a warning. Mm-hmm. Like you shouldn't be that upset over this little mishap.
Mm-hmm.
Someone like cut in front of you closer than you wanted to. And now you're just exploding in anger. Okay. The problem is not that person that cut you off. There's clearly something in you, some anger that mm-hmm. is embedded in your past that you have not dealt with. And so these are really good signs to know, oh, I personally need to go work on some stuff.
Right.
And I need to bring healing. And the more you do that, the less you'll have of these big blow-ups on little things.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not blowing up on little things, that's a good sign. That means, wow, I've done some work.
Yeah.
And all of that.
Amen. I'll tell you, if we learn, if we can have the ability to learn and the patience to learn how to talk about the tough stuff well.
Yeah.
Your relationships come out so much stronger and they're deeper and you feel closer to each other.
Yeah.
Because you know that you're on the same team and you're like fighting, you know, for something greater. Or like a deeper intimacy between you. And you don't want these things to be in the way of that. And you feel that from each other. So you come out stronger.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point of the goal is not to completely eliminate all tough conversations.
Right.
That's not the goal. The goal is to go really deep with each other. And the more deep and more of that trust that you build within each other, the more often you can go deep. And oftentimes it becomes less about what you did to me and what you made you like, what I'm bothered about, and more of like, hey, what's going on in me?
Yeah.
And that helps. And you want that because the reality is people that go through tough stuff together, even if it's like we're mad at each other and they go through it and they talk mm-hmm. about it and they work through it and they commit to each other, they are like forever bonded.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a human phenomenon. When people go through like a crisis together, and then they come out of it, those people are like forever bonded in a way that other people can never have.
Right.
There's something about pain, even just physical pain. It makes me think of, I did 16 years of coaching at NBC basketball camps. Unbelievable basketball camps. And these coaches and us, so they're overnight camps. So we're working like 16-hour days. We're going through tough stuff. And then at night, we're meeting and sharing with each other and all of that. And it's amazing how bonded we are to each other. We only spent a couple weeks every summer together. But because it was like tough physically, exhausting. Mm-hmm. And then we'd end up like sharing and talking about a lot of tough stuff in our life and all of that. It's amazing just how bonded we are to where I could not see someone for like years. The moment we see each other, it's like we're right back there. There's a special mm-hmm. bond that we have. And that's just like a small example.
Yeah.
Not to mention like crises. But yeah, if you will brave the territory, the scary, scary territory to walk through of talking about tough stuff, it will bond you
mm-hmm.
so deeply. And it's probably some of the best glue you can have is talking about tough stuff. It's totally worth it. Just be careful that you do it properly in a way that doesn't damage the relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, well, that's what we got for you today.
Yep.
we'll be back again next week with our final episode, I think, in the series. Or maybe we have a few more.
I think
I'm not sure.
But, I can't remember how many is in this series.
I think we're going to keep going next week. Yeah. With